Morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you here. Let's open up our bulletins, if you will. Get out your life point outline as we get into God's Word this morning. Today is the second in five messages that I have gotten prepared that I want to share with you regarding this whole campaign of Let the Children Come. And I want you to know, this is bigger than anything we have ever done before. And so it's exciting, and it's scary, and it's challenging, and I'm looking forward to it. And I want to thank you for your physical support by being here these 5 weeks and just listening to what God's got to say as He's working a change in our heart. And today's message that I want to share with you comes from a foundation of two realities that I want you to think about. They form the foundation of the message. And the first of those realities is this. This is not in your outline. If you want to write it down, you can do that. But I formed this message based upon, number one, God's purpose for my life and your life at this time. God's purpose for you and me. And then the second thing was God's plan. God's plan for our dear church family. I love this church. Do you? Amen. Love this church? I do. I'm here because God planted me here, and I stay because I want to stay. This is where I want to be. I want to be doing God's plan. And I believe the same thing is true for you. So we're here for two things: God's purpose in our life and God's plan for our church. This is our church that God has given us. And I want you to realize what that means is, these next 24 months that begin the first Sunday in October is not, and I want you to hear me honestly, it is not primarily about money. Now, we're going to talk about that, but I want you to understand from a biblical perspective, it is about Catherine and me, and it is about you and either your spouse or just you if you're single. It is about all of us realizing in a fresh way, because this is something God keeps putting in front of us, I believe, all the time. And that is that you and I both, me and you, we are here, we were led here by divine appointment. It is by no happenstance that you happen to be on the Hill. So we're led here by divine appointment in this church at this time. And God says, because there's something from eternity past I have wanted to do now, and I have brought all of you together under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, that you are here, I'm here, and so God's got us all together. And what the Lord is saying, I have sovereignly drawn everybody together, and my blessing is available if you will continue doing what I want you to do. And to me, that's just totally exciting. So let me just, if you will, I want to just dive into the message. We're going to read these message texts that I've got for you, and you just follow along with me as we do that, okay? So number one, I want us to talk about God's goal in these days. What is the goal of my Father in my life and in your life? And the first thing I want you to notice is God's first goal is God wants us to grow in faith. God wants us to grow in faith because the Bible says apart from what? It's impossible to please God. Apart from faith, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So God wants us to grow in faith. So over the next 24 months, God wants me and you to exemplify Colossians 2, verse 7 that I gave you as our text. It says in the New Living Translation, let your roots grow down deep into Christ. In other words, in what you believe about Him and what you understand about Him, and draw up nourishment from Him so that you will grow in faith. God wants me to grow in these next 24 months in what I believe. What I believe. Because my belief directs my life. And it touches everything about my daily life. So God wants me to grow in my belief in what I believe. And God wants to grow my life history. As I've thought about these messages and preparing them, I've thought about over the last 47 years. And I want you to know, I am not the same guy that came here 47 years ago. You say, you're certainly not. Your hair is a whole lot whiter. And you got wrinkles where you should not have them. I understand that. And it's not like I need you bringing it up. But the whole deal is, what is really important is what God has done in me. What God has taught me about Him. And He has increased my faith. I had faith. I believe God was leading me 47 years ago. But I know more about trusting Him and seeing His leadership in my life than I ever did 47 years ago. And what God is wanting to do is that same thing in you. God, listen, God is going to put pressure on you. He's going to put pressure on you. You're going to feel that. You're going to feel compelled to do that. Why? Because God wants you to take steps of faith. And when you take steps of faith, you can't see how in the world this is going to happen, but you believe it's what God, your Father, wants you to do. And apart from faith, it's impossible to please Him, right? And so it is taking those steps of faith. So look at the truth in your outline. God expects us to grow in our faith regarding Him. And what I mean by that is His heart. God wants me to grow in my faith about Him and His heart. And God wants me to grow in faith regarding what He's able to do, His power. God says, I have brought you to a place where it's going to take more than what it took last time. You saw me work. You saw me build this building. You saw me provide everything that you needed. You saw me bless my people and provide the ability to pay for a building that Harmony Hill Church had never done before. It's like we were crossing the Jordan at flood tide, and the Lord just parted the waters and did a marvelous thing. God says, I have brought you now to a Jericho. It is formidable. And we're looking to build another building as big as this, and the price tag has doubled. Dear Lord in heaven, it is doubled. And so now I can't live on what happened back then. I need something new. I need a fresh faith. And so God says, I want you to grow in your trust in my power to do this. One of the goals God has in blessing the hill, He has brought so many young families and children. God is wanting to raise up a church family of faith here on the hill who are not spiritual babies. And what that means is, God's plan is, He says, I want you to grow emotionally. I want you to get to the place to where you're not all over the map day in and day out. I want you to be to the place to where you're not up one day and down the next, where you're not happy and then you're sad, and you're moody and mad, or then you're glad. I want you to be dependable for me. I want to be able to count on you to do what I want you to do when I want you to do it. And God wants a people who know how to move His kingdom forward in a world that doesn't know Him. That's what God is doing. And He's stretching me and He's stretching you. So God, number one, wants us to grow in faith. Number two, God wants us to sow in generosity. It's impossible for me to be like my Father who created me in my mother's womb. How many of you understand, according to the Word of God, you were formed in your mother's womb by the will of God the Father? Would you raise your hand? I mean it. I want you to testify to it. Father, I realize my mama had a boy or had a girl by your sovereign design, right? You are here by design. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you, right? So we're not biological accidents. We're not biological events. We are here by divine appointment for these days. And God says, I want you to be like me, and that is, I want you to have the character of generosity. Listen to 2 Corinthians. This is our next verse. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly, Paul said, will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Now here's your insight. 2 Corinthians 9:6 is the law of sowing and reaping. And it is a clear principle taught in the Word of God. It is a law of life that I reap what I sow. Let me bring that down to where we live. That means when I am criticizing other people, I can expect to be criticized. When I am gracious, I can expect to have people be gracious to me. When I am kind, I can expect kindness to come back to me. Why? Because God says, you reap what you sow. So you just let your tongue keep slicing and dicing. And then you wonder, I don't understand why people don't like me. Lord, have mercy. You don't understand. It's because your critical spirit is bringing critical spirit back on you. You reap what you sow. And here's the truth. You always reap more than you sow. That's a principle of life. You know, I was raised on a farm. I got out of it as soon as I could. Daddy loved gardening. And so I gardened. Not because I liked it, but because he was my daddy and that's what we did. So we gardened, right? And so one of the things, when you plant a kernel of corn, you plant one kernel, you get a stalk of corn and three or four ears on that, and that one kernel multiplies to 1,000 to 2,000 separate kernels of corn. It's amazing. And that's the law that God has in play. Whatever you give in God's name, you always get back more. Does that make sense? So God says, you're going to get more than what you invest. So God says, I want you to grow in faith. I want you to sow in generosity. And number three, I want you to go in faith. I want you to go. Now listen, Hebrews 11 verse 8. It was by faith Abraham obeyed God's call to go. And he left his own country without knowing where he was to go. And here's what God is saying. During this campaign, this is what I believe. As we just obey God and we just say yes to him, and we move out and we start giving, we start doing whatever God wants us to do, I believe in the next 24 months, we're going to see young people, couples, and individuals step out in faith to do things that they never dreamed in their life they'd be doing, and certainly not be doing at this stage in their life. I believe that. Just about the time Abraham was ready to start drawing Social Security, God said, I want you to go here. I want you to go that way. And Abraham said, Lord, where am I going? He said, I'm not going to tell you now. I just want you to go that way. And so at his ripe old age, he moves out and starts going. And so here I am at this stage in my life, and God says, now we're going to build a building bigger than anything you've tackled to this point. And you're going to have to trust me more than you've ever trusted me in your ministerial life. And you're going to have to handle the pressure of all of this. And I'm like, seriously, Lord, now? Really? I thought I kind of done my wad. I mean, I've done this. You know, let some other young whippersnapper take it over. God said, mm-mm. No, we're going to do it now. And so I've come to the place of just embracing that. This is what God wants for me. And so I want you in here with me. I want you with me. I want us to do this building. This is what God has called us to do, to step out in faith, to do things we never thought of doing. And whenever you begin to sense that, I want you to understand, I'm already on the racetrack. I'm already running. And I want you to run with me. And the truth in your outline is you can always identify the call of God because you're going to have to trust God to accomplish it. You're going to say, Father, okay, if this is what you want, I'm going to trust you because I don't know how I'm going to do this. You see, Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans 14, 23, anything that is not done in faith is sin. And Matthew 9, 29, Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And that last verse is a great promise. Jesus said, John, you get to choose how much I bless you in your life. You get to choose. A lot of faith, a lot of blessing. A little faith, a little blessing. No faith, no blessing. God said, you get to determine that. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So those are God's goals. That we grow in faith, we sow in generosity. And so then number two, God's purpose. We got his goals. What's his purpose? What is the Lord wanting? Well, number one, he wants spiritual maturity. Now here's the thing. As each of us commits, listen, we commit not to what we think we can afford. And I want you to hear that. It is not about what I think I can afford. It is what we believe God wants us to trust him for. Lord, what do you want me to trust you for? When I do that, that is going to stretch my faith and I'm going to grow. If Catherine and I only commit to what we think we can afford, we will never see God do a miracle in our life. Why? Because God said, you can do that. If you do that, you don't need me. But if you want me to show up, then you've got to do something that only I can do. And you say, Father, you show up, and this is what I'm willing to do. Muscles grow, how? By being stretched and stressed. And so if our faith is going to be stretched, if you're going to grow in faith, you're going to have to trust God to show up when you need him. It's like, Lord, I turned in that card. Do I have to remind you what I put at the bottom? Lord, help me. I want to do that, but I cannot do that without you. But I believe this is what you want me to do. And so I put it down because we've got a big challenge. So Let the Children Come campaign is going to put a lot of weight on my spiritual muscles. Listen to James chapter 1, verse 3. When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be strong in character and ready for anything. That's what God wants for us, that in this broken world, this church will be prepared for what comes our way because we're people of faith. What the world is going through now is going to have a lot of people wondering, where is there any security? Where is there any hope? And they're going to know that you're a church attender. And people in Lufkin are going to come to you and they're going to ask you, what about God in these days? What about the Lord? And you need to be able to speak to them from a position of faith that God has worked in your life. You know that God is real. God has showed up in your life because you've followed him by faith. You see, it's way more than building a building. This is about building our character. And here's the insight in your outline. The last thing we want is that our church will be big and shallow, a mile wide and an inch deep, right? We don't want that. That's not what we want. And yeah, we're going to build a building for children with the money that we're going to give. But it is more about making room for discipling kids. Discipling these children, this next generation that's coming up. And in the weeks to come, what I want to do, I want to share with you how your children's ministry, Kids on the Hill, has a history of turning out world changers who are in strategic places across the United States and the world, and they're making an impact in the next generation. And that's happening out of this church that God has raised up. So God's purpose, number one, is spiritual maturity. Number two is relational unity. Do you realize last year our church grew by 153 new members? 153 new people said, we want to be part of this church family. You know what that means? That means that our greatest need is to increase our sense of being a family. Would you agree with that? Huh? We need to have that sense of being a family. Now, how many of you already have that sense in your heart? Would you raise your hand? This is home. This is my family. All right. That needs to spread. Okay? And here's how that happens. Here's the truth. Relational unity means we need to get closer as a spiritual family. And you do that by cooperating together. When we work for and give to and pray for a common cause, that brings us closer together. Because we're all working for the same thing. Listen to Acts 4:32. The believers in the Jerusalem church were united in their hearts and spirit. Now, here's why. Because they shared all they had with each other. That's what brought about relational unity in the first church. And there were 5,000 added that first Sunday when the church formed, right? And so God says they came together by working together, sharing all that they had together. And hadn't the Lord say, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also? That's right. So here's the truth. Wherever you put your time and your money and your interest, that's going to be where you feel at home. And so God says, I want you, my purpose is spiritual maturity, relational unity, and one last thing, I want to solidify your global reach. God wants to solidify our global reach. Now, I want you to listen. This is where I want to share some things of history. This is what I want you to understand about the church that you're in this morning. Maybe you're new and you're just kind of kicking the tires. You know, I don't know if I want to, you know, put in here. I just want to know what this church is about. We are where we are today because of campaigns like what we're going through right now in the past that we went through because of growth. And we have done it again and again and again. You've been, most of you or a lot of you maybe have been in our administration building back over here, the two-story building on our campus. That's where our pastoral offices are. The church office and everything is there. Or maybe on Wednesday night, you drop off your children or your grandchildren in that building. And that is a building where your child or your grandchild has a place to learn and to grow. Your pastors, your staff, your pastors study over there. We counsel. We prepare messages. We do ministry strategy. And it's all because, listen, because of the Together We Build campaign. It was back in the 80s. And we paid cash for that building and never paid any interest on that money. Now, that building is there today in part because of the generosity of a church member. They're still in our midst. They were, at that time, they had been severely injured, and they had received monetary damages to help them, support them for the years of their life. And in our time of need, because I let the church know, I said, you know, we need to pray for God's provision. We need to finish this building. We've been doing it for about 3 years. We were paying cash for everything that we did. People were giving, but it was a slow go. And so I just made that plea. I said, we need to pray for God's blessing. We need God's favor to show up in this. And I had this church member came forward and said, Brother John, I'm willing to pull $100,000 out of an interest-bearing account that's taking care of me, and I will loan it to the church interest-free. And the church can pay me back as they're able. And because of that sacrifice, we finished that building according to the way we believe God wanted us to do it. And lives were changed. That was a building we have used in so many ways through the years. And that faith worked in those days. So here's what I want you to understand. I've given you examples of people giving large sums of money, but I want you to hear me on this. God will not bail us out. God will not touch somebody who's going to come in and drop $4 million into our lap. Do you understand me, what I'm saying? Yeah. That's not going to happen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because God says that doesn't require any faith on your part. Our Father's going to do that. So if you're thinking, man, I'm just going to wait for somebody with some major bucks in their pocket to pop up and get us out of this whole thing. And I'm not going to have to do anything. No. God's not going to do that. God said, let me tell you something. The water will never part until you put your foot in it. The wall will never come down until you march around it 7 times and give a shout. In other words, until you make an investment, God says, I'm not showing up. He said, if you want to do it on your own, then you struggle through it. But if you want me to show up, then you step out on faith. Let me tell you, when God, all those other times that God has done this, listen to me, it was not a rescue. It was a reward. Did you hear me? It was not rescuing. God did not rescue us. He rewarded us. Do you know why? Because across the board, our people were giving. And I have no shame in asking you to give, because I believe with all my heart this is called of God for us, for this time in our life. And if we obey, we will see the blessing and the favor of God on our life, because we are called to this time and this place. God has sovereignly put us on this hill. And when we do what He wants us to do, God will show up. He will not rescue, but He will reward. And I want to see Him reward. How about you? I want to see Him do that. And so you are sitting in a worship center that was Together We Build. You're sitting in a worship center that was built by For Such a Time as This campaign. We looked at the book of Esther. You're sitting in a chair that was paid for by somebody. So I tell you, we paid it. I did. Well, that's all right too. Maybe you did. You gave. But I want to tell you, every chair was paid for by somebody who sacrificed to build a worship center so that people could continue coming. And some of those people who gave this building are already with the Lord. And they've gone and received their reward. And what I want for all of us is, when some of us are closer to the grave this year than we were in our last building campaign, and I want you to be able to go home and hear God say, well done. You didn't make life all about you. But you remember what I did for you on the cross. And you were willing to suffer for me. You were willing to do without for me. And there are people who did that 19 years ago. And that's why we're in this building today. And today we're in our fourth major building campaign on the hill. We got another mountain to conquer. I am so glad we've got a mountain, aren't you? I am so glad we're not having to say, where is everybody? Huh? Right? Amen? Thank you, Lord, the chairs are filling up. Thank you, people are coming. Well, that's got responsibility tied to it. And now we've got to make a place for these kids that are coming. We've got all these young people coming, and they've got kids in tow or in arms. Praise God for that. Up there on the hill are future pastors and missionaries and counselors and deacons and Bible teachers and life group leaders for decades to come. The next generation that's going to make an impact in Lufkin and Texas and wherever around the world. And our prayer for kids on the hill is 2 Corinthians 10:15. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10:15. What we're hoping for is that your lives grow in faith. That's what we hope for, the kids on the hill. This is in the Living Bible. What we're hoping for is that your lives grow in faith and you will play a greater part within our expanding work. Isn't that what we want? We want those kids to grow in faith, and we want them to become the leaders and the teachers and those that are going out and reaching and touching other people for Christ. And the hill, yeah, go ahead. That's fine. The hill has a great history of numerical growth. And this children's building means that we are continuing to look to the future of reaching unchurched families and kids who are far from God. And He wants us to continue to be the church that just answers the sovereign call, go into all the world. And we want those kids to be answering that call. We want them to hear that call. So momentum is building on the hill. And I want you to understand that. You have not seen yet what God plans to do on this hill. You've not seen it yet. We have not hit our stride in missions. We've not done near what God wants to do. Pastor Ben has laid and is laying a solid foundation, strategically building missions ministry one step at a time. But we have no idea what God is going to do through this church in world missions. But we've got a man at the helm who's going to lead us there. And I'm grateful for Pastor Ben. He's given over to that. We have in Pastor Todd in student ministry, a man who is masterfully building an attractional student ministry and already hitting over 175 students in midweek services here on the hill. And when our children's building is completed, do you understand, there will be an ever-enlarging student stream into middle school. And we already have in place Dylan Sandlin, a young man, we're going to license him next weekend. And what that means is we're building for kids. And we get this building built for kids, we're going to have a steady stream into student ministry. That's going to be our next challenge. So just be ready. We're not done yet. Lord have mercy. Did he just say there's going to be another one? Yeah, going to be another one. That's the price to pay when you're in a growing church. Amen? Huh? And then the last one is discipleship. Pastor Richardson is at the front end of laying a foundation for growth and impact. And I want you to understand that. We've not had somebody who's totally focused on discipleship. We've got a man whose heart is for discipleship. And his ministry emphasis could all on its own be the major tool that closes the back door to our church. Close it. Where people wander off and out of fellowship with the church. And that's because we're going to learn to be the disciple-making church that God wants us to be. So let me bring you number three. Let me close with an assurance. Closing assurance. Number one, I want you to hear me. And those of you may be new and kind of kicking the tires, see if you're going to be here. You will not be pressured to give. You will not be pressured to give in this campaign. And I want you, the reason I want you to know that is because the Bible says we are never to give under pressure. At any time, if you feel pressured to give to this campaign, then don't give. And I'm serious. Don't give a dime. Why? Here's the reason why. Because the Bible says if you give out of compulsion, you don't get any credit for it. And if I'm going to sacrifice, I want credit. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't want to get home and the Lord said, well, that didn't work for you. Because you gave because you felt compelled to give. Now, I told you, never, 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 never give under pressure. Here's the maxim in your outline. Always give out of joy or don't give. If you can't give because you want to, then don't. Why? Because you're not going to get nothing for it in heaven. God's not going to reward you. The last Sunday of this month, September 25th, we're going to ask everybody who's going to give to turn in one of these. If you haven't already done that, you turn in one of these with the amount that you plan to give. Now, if you don't want to do that, then don't. Because if you don't want to, and you do, it's a wash. It's a wash. Now, that's what 2 Corinthians 9:7 is my text. It says, each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Listen, not reluctantly or, here you go, under pressure, for God loves a what? A cheerful giver. God, I am giving because I want to. Do you hear, Lord? I am giving because I want to. I'm not giving because Green is putting a guilt trip on me. I want in on this. I want a reward when I get home to heaven. Because I'm not buying that boat because I'm going to give to this building. So when I get there, I want you to say, well done. I just gave an example. I don't know if some of you are not going to buy a boat because you're giving. But if that applies, okay. And number two, everybody can give something. Everybody can give something. If you're retired, if you're on a fixed income, if you're out of work, listen, you can still give. Now, before you throw a rock at me, I want you to listen. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 is the account of the widow's mite. How many of you remember the story of the widow's mite? Did she put in out of her abundance or she put in out of her poverty? Poverty, right? She gave all she had. She gave less than 2 cents, and that's all she had. Do you know why Jesus brought that up? Because Jesus is telling us you cannot outgive God. Do you realize when she gave 2 pennies, all that she had, God noticed. The Lord took note. And the Bible says, give and it will be given to you. Not, you wait for me to give and then you give. No, no. He said, you give and then it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, will the Lord pour into your lap. Listen, even if it's $1 a week and you say, God, by your provision, I don't have it, but I'm going to believe you, and I'm going to give $250 this campaign. Lord, you know I'm a widow. You know I'm going to fix it. And I'm just saying that as an example. I'm not pointing out anybody. And Lord, all I can see that I can do is I'm going to give $1 a week. Let me tell you something. Once you start putting that dollar a week in there out of faith to what God wants you to do, God takes notice. And the Lord says, you give out of my provision, but you've got to prime the pump. And that means in faith, I'm going to give this. And then once I give, then the door from heaven can be open and it can start. And God can do a marvelous thing. Number three, as we give, we're going to have miracles of blessing. When people trust God and take risks for him, that's when God moves. When God sees you take a risk, God moves according to faith. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it done unto you. I get to determine what God does in my life. I get to determine that. And so do you. And when I take a risk and I step out in faith over these 24 months, God's going to do miracles. Listen, there can be promotions at work. There can be some weddings. There's some people in our church who want to get married. Lord, I believe you want me to trust you. Lord, I'm going to give. I'm going to give this because I'm trusting you. Lord, I want your blessings on my life. Maybe it might be an engagement. I'm just saying, I don't have anybody in mind. Unexpected income, closed doors, open. I'm talking about God doing things that you can't make happen. Number four, Satan will harass us. We will have difficulties over these next 24 months. And I want you to understand, Satan will try to distract me. He's already doing that. He will try to sidetrack you because Satan doesn't want me or you living by faith. I'm going to tell you what he'll do. He will, by the permission of God, cause me to be ill. He will, by the permission of God, make my vehicle break down or yours. He will, by the permission of God, maybe people lose a job. There may be a crisis of grief. There may be strife in the home. Oh, let me say strife in the home. Let me just say this. When you and your spouse take a step of faith, you can expect for the flesh to be stirred. Satan will do everything he can to stir up the flesh in you. So let me just say in advance, when in the weeks ahead y'all get into a big, nasty argument at home, I want one of you just all of a sudden wake up and say, well, you know, Brother John said there'd be days like this. He said, there'd be days like this. And so, sweetheart, I know it's not you. I know it's the devil. I know it's the devil. And so, Satan, get away from us. I love you, baby. I love you. And I know it's not you. It's the devil. And then number five, there are two types of people who are not going to give. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to shut up. Number one, you're not going to give because you're in pain. And I understand that. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're battling a disease. Maybe your mind is swamped with all kinds of things. Listen, if you're going through a lot of personal pain, you hear me as your shepherd. I want you just to relax. Last thing I want to do is put more pressure on you. And so if you're in heartache, if you're in grief, I want you to take care of yourself. And God will take care of the building. You say amen to that?
Amen.
Right? They got enough. It's okay. All right? So if you're in pain, just chill. We love you. We're glad you're here. And number two, the second type of person who's not going to give is the immature. I don't think we've got a lot of them here. The immature have no idea how these buildings were built. Immature people, I think Tinkerbell flies through here with pixie dust and just kind of sprinkles it. Pops a building. And they just look back and say, my, ain't that nice? They have no concept how much money it takes to keep a church of 2,000 members going. Somebody paid for the parking lot that your car is sitting on right now. Huh?
Amen.
It did. That's why it's there. Somebody bought the chair you're sitting in. And they may already be with Jesus. Somebody is keeping the lights and the air on because of their giving. So let me close with this. I'm 2 minutes over, but that's all right, isn't it? I can't hardly tell this without getting emotional. This is one of the things that God brought to my mind when I was getting ready for the sermon. Years ago, up on the hill, we were in that building. We were doing the educational building over here. And as I said, we'd been going for 3 years. And there was a member in our church. She's gone to be with Jesus now. Her name is Mary Foster. Mary Foster was a senior adult. She and Charles. Charles was, I don't think he was working at the time. I think he had already retired. Maybe not. But they were in their mid to late 60s. Charles and Mary were raising 3 grandsons, plus they had 1 son still at home. So that's 4 boys. And she was in her middle to late 60s. Kath and I went over to visit them one night, and Mary was sitting on the couch with a pile of clean underwear and jeans and shirts up to her shoulders, literally. And she was sitting there folded. 9 o'clock at night. Her son, the dad of those 3 boys, had tragically lost his life in a boating accident. It'd been a lot of heartache in the family. Those boys were growing. There she was, 9 o'clock at night, folding clothes, cooking meals in her late 60s. When she was dog tired. Mary Foster had a hobby that brought her joy. You couldn't help but see it when you walked into the house. Mary collected Barbie dolls. And she kept them in their original box, untouched, unopened. They're all over the house. Lord have mercy. That was all I could think about. I'm like my mom. All I think about, oh, you got a lot of dusting to do. You know, all those things. That was the pride and joy of her life. And I remember that Sunday morning, I'd given the invitation, and out from the chair came Mary. And she walked down to the front, and she took my hand. There were big old tears in her eyes. And she said, Brother John, she said, I want to be obedient to what I feel like God wants me to do. And she said, I'm going to sell my Barbie doll collection, and I want to give it to the church to finish the building. And about 2 weeks later, Mary Foster put in my hands a check for $7,000. She sold every one of her Barbie dolls to other collectors. And all I want to ask is this: where's our next Mary Foster? What are we going to let God do to work a miracle in our place and in our church? So, Father, thank you today for the word. God, thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for speaking so clearly to our hearts.